She hasn't long to live, Pearl said quietly of the decision. We want her to have her day in court. Although Catherine was no more an extrovert than her husband, she nevertheless seemed accepting of the responsibility. The strength for the women in my family, said one of her relatives, has always been to do the right thing and stand up for what you believe in. Catherine saw a huge wrong, and she wasn't going to be quiet about it. While Grossman beavered away in Chicago, it seemed a long and lonely fall to Catherine Donahue. Her condition continued to deteriorate more and more rapidly. My hip is very bad, Pearl, Catherine admitted to her friend. It is all I can do to get around at all. That hard lump on her hip was growing undeniably bigger. She took X-ray treatments for it, but later said, Well, I took 30 of them, and it sure failed to give me any relief. Her physician seemed unable to stop her decline, but Catherine refused to give up hope. There'd been some coverage a while back about a treatment that might eliminate radium in victims' bones. She just needed to hang in there, and a cure would come. With Catherine unable to manage the stairs anymore due to her misshapen hip, Tom brought her wrought iron bed downstairs to the front room. He slept on a couch at the foot of it. He made it as comfortable as he could for Catherine. There was a makeshift lamp at the head of the bed, as well as a radio, and he hung a very large wooden crucifix on the wall above the bed. It had Jesus on it, so he could look over and look after Catherine as she slept. Her crutches were set against the wall, ready for when she was assisted to the bathroom. A well-worn pair of slippers rested by their feet. The timid-looking bunny rabbit given to the children last Easter kept her company on the bedside table. The room had two windows in the front and a window to the west. It had good light, recalled her niece Mary, but they kept the shades drawn. I suppose that was what she wanted. It made for a rather dim setting, but then Catherine had a light of her own. Even now, she said numbly, my body gives off a faint luminous glow when surrounded by darkness. You could see every bone in her body, remembered her nephew James. She was just lying on the bed. When the girls had used to play their games in the dark room at work, they themselves had used to vanish, eclipsed by the glowing element so that all you could see was the radium. That eclipsing effect now seemed strangely prophetic, but when people looked at Catherine these days, they didn't see her. They saw only the effects of the grim poisoning that had taken over her body. People are afraid to talk to me now, Catherine confessed. Sometimes it makes me terribly lonesome. They act as though I'm already a corpse. It's hard to have people around and still to be alone. Even when the family came to visit, the Donahues had always hosted meals after church on Sunday when they'd serve eggs and bacon and Catherine would pour tea from her white china teapot printed with pink rosebuds. James remembered that they talked in the other room so Catherine could rest. Someone else now poured the tea. As the year drew towards its end, Catherine's isolation became even more intense. She now spent nearly all of her days and nights lying down, venturing outside only with help, generally that of her husband. He used to carry her around in his arms, recalled James. In such a condition, there was no way she could mother her children as she wanted or needed to. Although the Donahues had no money, a housekeeper was arranged. This live-in nanny, Eleanor Taylor, now became a surrogate mother to Tommy and Mary Jane. Catherine tried to direct her children's care from bed.